Continue our study of Mishnayos Bikurim. We're in the middle of the first parak. We're up to Mishnah Gimel. It seems that since we only have 2 weeks left, we'll probably only have a chance to finish the first parak, and then we'll see what we'll do after that. Says the Mishnah Bikurim, parak Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. Ein mevi'im Bikurim, chutz mishivas haminim. One can only bring Bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash if they are from the Shivas Haminim. As we know, Shivas Haminim is chitas or gefen to ena rimon shemen, eretz shemen udvash. So those are the Shivas Haminim. So the Mishnah here tells us one can only bring Bikurim that come from the Shivas Haminim. Now, the question is, why is that true? The Mishnah doesn't explain to us exactly why. The Mishnah has drashos for other parts of the Mishnah, but the Mishnah doesn't exactly tell us why it is that they have to be only from the Shivas Haminim. So the Rambam and other Rishonim here in their commentary on Mishnah is right that the reason why it has to be from the Shivas Haminim is because they have a drasha from the Pasuk that says, Mei Reishis Velo Kol Reishis, you have to take a part of the Reishis, which means not all fruits are obligated to have Bikurim taken from them, only some of the fruits that grow, and what are those some going to be? The fruits that are the Shivas Haminim. The Sefer HaChinuch has a totally different reason. If you look at the very end of the source sheet on the second side, I forgot to put it first, the Sefer HaChinuch writes a very different reason. He makes up his own reason, which we do not find in the Gemara. The Gemara discusses this issue in Menachos and Daf Pezayin Amud Beis, and the Gemara seems to say like the Rambam, and seems to say a little bit like the other idea that the Sefer HaChinuch says, but not quite. Let's see what the Sefer HaChinuch writes, Mitzvah Tzadi Aleph. Why is it that Shivas Haminim have to come specifically, Bikurim have to come specifically from Shivas Haminim? Zak the Sefer HaChinuch, Lefi Hadome, Ki Bederach Zeh Lamdu Chazal Lomar Kein. How did Chazal know this? Ki Achar Shelo Huzkeru Peres HaChirim Chutz Me'elu B'Torah B'Shum Makom. Since the Torah never mentions any other fruits anywhere else in Chumash, one second, V'tzivanu baruch hu lahavi meratzeinu bikurei peros, the Torah gives me a mitzvah that you should bring fruits from your field. Torah doesn't tell me which fruits. So let's look through the Torah, and the only fruits that we find that the Torah ever mentions are the Shivas Haminim. So therefore, be'emes yesh lodun ki al peros shi'adiyana b'torah shehein ba'aretz v'sheshibcha b'hem alosan tzivanu. It must be that this that the Torah mentions in another place, the fruits which are the Shivas Haminim, must be that's what the Torah means over here. Now, I beg your pardon, Sefer HaChinuch, however, we do find many other places where the Torah talks about fruits. Let's say, Pre-Eitz Adar. So you're going to tell me, now you have to start bringing Bikurim from Esrogim, because that is something that's mentioned in the Torah, or we have Vayugmol Shkedim. We have Sukkim scattered about throughout the Torah, where we talk about many different fruits, not only the Shivas Haminim. So perhaps, what the Sefer HaChinuch means to say here is, yes, the Torah does mention others, but when the Torah is trying to highlight the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah only highlights these peros. So when you're talking about a mitzvah satluyas baretz, when you're talking about the mitzvah bikurim, that is only something that we do in Eretz Yisrael, so then I'll say, well, the Torah didn't specify which fruits to use, must be the fruits that Eretz Yisrael is highlighted, having to have something special about these fruits in its land. That's the understanding of the Sefer HaChinuch. The Ran, in his Chidushim to Maseches Chulin, takes it a step further, and he says, even though our Mishnah says he only have a mitzvah to bring Bikurim from the Shivas Haminim, says the Ran, if let's say you choose to bring from Shar Haminim, I have an apple orchard also, and I decide, well, once I'm bringing the Rimonim and the Te'enim, now I want to add some apples and oranges also, says the Ran, those will take on the status of Bikurim. That's the way the Ran understands. And this is a very difficult Ran, because the Ran proves this from a Mishnah that comes later on in the third parak, which we will not get to, but the third parak of Bikurim, the Mishnah says, there's a halacha called Itur HaBikurim, Itur HaPeros, which means, I have, let's say my Bikurim, the first fruits that grow, is just one pomegranate, so what am I going to walk up to the Beis HaMikdash with a basket? It's empty, there's nothing in there. So I don't want to come into the Beis HaMikdash looking like a nobody, I have nothing in my basket. So I put in some other things also, I'm not just going to take one fruit, I'm going to take 5 pomegranates, 5 dates, I'm going to take 10, you know, a couple of bushels, clusters of grapes. It should look fancier when I show up to the Beis HaMikdash. That's called Itur HaBikurim, says the Ran. The same way that we have a concept of Itur HaBikurim in the third parak, that you're able to add on other things, so to be able to add on apples and oranges and other things as well, even though those are not from the Shivas Haminim. That's the understanding of the Ran. Now, So it sounds like from the Ran that why not? If you decide to volunteer, you want to bring something else, because Zintahed is going to take on the status of Bikurim. And the Achronim find this, one second, the Achronim find this very difficult, because that Mishnah is just saying, Mishum Hidur Mitzvah, you're allowed to add on extra pomegranates. But it's not that it's on the status of Bikurim now, and that's the question that you're raising as well. If I have apples and oranges now, what are you going to say? All of a sudden that takes on the status? This is a very, very problematic Ran. Certainly not the simple understanding, the way if you learn the Mishnayos later on in the Masechta, it's simply not the understanding that most Achronim have. Rashi, in his commentary on Tanakh, takes it even further. And Rashi says, yes, we have this idea that you're only supposed to take Bikurim from... You're only supposed to take Bikurim from Shivas Haminim. That's the way our mission teaches. Says Rashi, but Midrabanan, they were machayiv you to bring from Shar Peiros Eilan also. Midrabanan, you have an obligation to bring not only from the Shivas Haminim, but Midrabanan, you have an obligation to bring from outside of the Shivas Haminim as well. And this, the Chasam Sofer, the Menchas Chinuch, they say Rashi's making up a halacha. This is not at all something that we find, and this is not the simple understanding. So let's get back to our Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, first side of the sheet, number Aleph. Ein mevi'im bikurim chutz mishivas aminim. The simple understanding, you cannot bring bikurim from anything that's outside of the shivas aminim. You'll say, maybe mishum itur ha-peiros, you're allowed to add on other things that the basket shouldn't look empty. Okay, that's maybe a hidur mitzvah, but the simple, strict obligation of bikurim is only on the shivas aminim. Now the Mishnah says, v'lo mitmarim shebaharim. You're not allowed to bring bikurim from the dates that grow in the harim, that grow in the mountains, because we assume those are inferior, those aren't so good because of the places in which they grow. Again, if you have a couple of olive trees and one of them doesn't grow so nicely and one of them does, so there's no mitzvah bikurim to bring fruits that are spoiled, that are rotten, that aren't growing nicely. Another halacha, you're not allowed to bring bikurim before the Yomtiv of Shavuos, which is why Shavuos is called the Chag HaBikurim, because this is when we have the onset of the mitzvah of Bikurim. Anshe Har Tzivuim, Heviu Bikureim Kodem La'atzeres. There were a group of people from this town, which was a very highly regarded town, and they brought their Bikurim before Shavuos, V'lo Kiblamayim. They showed up in the Beis HaMikdash, they wanted to offer their Bikurim to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim gave it back to them. They said, I'm sorry, we don't accept this. Mipnei Hakosiv Sheva Torah, because it says in the Torah of a Chag Hakotzer Bikurim Asecha Asher Tizra Basoda. This is called the Chag HaBikurim, which means everything starts from now. And therefore, these people were trying to buck the system and bring it before Shavuos. We gave it back to them. We said, I'm sorry, now is not the time for the mitzvah. Why do they have to give it back to them? Why don't they just accept it not as Bikurim? The answer is, the Mefarshim explained the reason why, is because people used to look up to the individuals who came from this town, and we were concerned if people are going to see that we let them get away with it, and we accept it at all, people are going to have the mistaken impression that the mitzvah really begins earlier. So I thought tonight, in honor of what this Mishnah says, I think it's interesting to look a little bit into the halachos that are relevant to the Shivas Haminim in other contexts as well. Over here, the Mishnah says clearly, you can only have Bikurim coming from the Shivas Haminim. We have other cases in halacha as well, where Shivas Haminim plays a very, very important role. There is a very famous Machlokas HaRishonim, with regard to the mitzvah of Truma. So we have a mitzvah to give truma all the time, every year. And the machlokas harishonim is, what exactly do I have to separate truma from? Is it from everything that grows in my field? Is it just from some of the things that grow in my field? So the opinion of most of the rishonim, meaning Rashi has this in brachos, Tosus in Rosh Hashanah, Tosus in Pesachim, the Ravid in Trumas, the Rashba, the Ritva, and the Chazanish writes the halacha. Since Rov harishonim say this, this must be the way that we paskin, that the only obligation that I have midaraisa of being mafresh truma is from Dagon Tirish v'Yitzer. Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzer means Dagon is the grains, Tirosh is wine, and Yitzer means oil, shemen, dvash, things like that. That's called Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzer. Most of the Rishonim assume you're only obligated to separate Truma and give it to the Kohen from Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzer. The Rambam is of the opinion that no, all Peiros Ilan are Chayiv Midaraisa. Not only Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzer, but we extend that to anything that grows on a tree, even apples, everything else, all those need to have Truma taken off from them. However, if it's something that's a vegetable, doesn't grow on a tree, there says the Rambam, that's not an obligation with their rice. And then you have the Shita Saravid. The Shita Saravid is, no, only Shivas Haminim. Not Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzer, and not all Peiros Eilan. He says it's only the Shivas Haminim. Why? Because Shivas Haminim is something that we learn by Bikurim, is the only thing that is obligated to bring Bikurim from it. Says the Ravid, that since the Torah calls Bikurim Trumas Yadecha, so the Mishnayos later on say there are certain similarities, certain differences between Bikurim and Truma, says the Ravid, from the fact that Bikurim can only be brought from Shivas Haminim, it must be that Truma as well, he works backwards, it must be that Truma as well can only be offered from, is only an obligation to bring it from the Shivas Haminim as well. So that's first place where we find a very important nafkamina lahalacha with regard to the Shivas Haminim. A very second, very, very important nafkamina is with regard to Hilchas Brachas. And Shulchan Aruch Sim and Reshud Aleph were told the following. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, when it comes to brachas, there are certain preferences that we're supposed to make on which bracha to what item to make a bracha on. So number one, the Shulchan Aruch says if you have something which is min shiva, if you have something which is from the shivas aminim, and you also have, let's say I have a pomegranate and I have an apple, so I should make the bracha on the pomegranate as opposed to making the bracha on the apple. Now the Achronim point out, if you have no interest in eating the pomegranate at all, meaning that's only provided you're going to eat both of them, you're going to eat the pomegranate and the apple, so then you should make the bracha on the pomegranate instead of the apple. But if you have no intention on ever eating the pomegranate, it just happens to be on the table, but it's just there for looks, or it's going to be there for another course later on, that's obviously not the equation that we're discussing. It's only that you have two items in front of you, you're not sure what to do. So, number one, says the Shulchan Aruch, Shivas Aminim, always come first before other food items. Second of all, says the Shulchan Aruch, Min Chaviv, if you have something which you like and something which you don't like. When I was a kid, my mother used to give us zucchini. I couldn't take it down. So I have something that I have to eat because my mother gave it to me. I grew up in the older generation. Nowadays, we would never dare do such a thing to our kids. So I have, let's say, a baby carrot that I like, and I have a zucchini in front of my face that I don't like. So what am I going to make the bracha on? On the baby carrot, because that's what I like, and not on the zucchini, which I don't like. Why are you eating if you don't like it? Because your mother makes you eat it. That's it. That's the way we used to think. That's the adifus number two that the Shulchan Aruch says. Min chaviv comes first. Now number three, says the Shulchan Aruch, what if I enjoy both of them equally? I have apples and oranges. Both of them are enjoyable to me. I don't have any preference. Neither of them are shivas aminim. Neither of them are chaviv. What do you do? Says the Shulchan Aruch, min shalem ezadif. If I have a sliced up apple, but I have an orange which is complete, so I make the bracha on something which is complete and not on something which is already cut apart, which is not a devar shalem. So this is basically what the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Reish Yud Aleph. Says the Bahag, what if I have a toss-up between Shiva Saminim and Chaviv? What do you say then? On the one hand, I have a pomegranate in front of me, but I like the apple better. So if you have just two things in front of you, you like both of them, so obviously the pomegranate comes first. What do you do when you have also between Shivas Aminim and Chaviv? I like the apples better, but the Shivas Aminim is in front of me. Says the Bahag, the Shivas Aminim comes first, even though it's not the item that you enjoy better. That's the opinion of the Bahag. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says no. One always should choose the thing that they enjoy better. That's the way the Rambam understands. Look in Shulchan Aruch number Beis, the Shulchan Aruch in Reshut Aleph writes. I'm sorry, no, that's the next part. I didn't put this on here. Shulchan Aruch writes, let's say I have many different minim, and I like one and I don't like the other, but I'm going to eat both of them. So the Shulchan Aruch simply paskins like the Bahag that you make the bracha on Shivas Haminim. Then all of a sudden, Reshit Aleph Sif Beis, he paskins like the Rambam. He says, oh, Yesh Omrim, like the Rambam says that, you make the bracha on the Chaviv, and you disregard the fact that the Shivas Haminim is in front of you. So anyway, that's a Nafkamina number two. When we talk about the Shivas Haminim, it's important to know that those Shivas Haminim are the ones that are supposed to be having the bracha made on them over other minim. What happens when you have two of the Shivas Haminim in front of you is another shaila. Which one is closer to the Eretz and the Pasuk? We won't get into that now. Now, when you eat the Shivas Haminim, we recite a bracha achas me'ein shalosh, which is like a quasi-benching. So what do? We make this bracha achas me'ein shalosh, and that really needs a lot of explanation. What exactly is that bracha achas me'ein shalosh? So, when it comes to all the other brachas we know, all other brachas aside from Birchas Torah and Birchas HaMazon, all other brachas that we make throughout the year are only Midrabanan. And therefore, when it comes to a Safeg bracha, when it comes to a person who's not sure whether or not they count the Sfiras Omer, which I just realized I did not because I was finishing Marv late. So when you come to somebody who's not sure if they did a bracha, which is only Midrabanan, so we assume that you have to say Safeg Drabanan Lekula, Safeg Brachas Lahakel, and you don't go ahead and make the bracha again. However, if it comes to the bracha of Birchas HaMazon, or it comes to the bracha of Birchas HaTorah, if a person is mesupik, whether or not they made the bracha, they do have to go back and recite it because safek daraisa lechumra. Now, what happens by bracha achas mein shalosh? What happens if I have a bracha achas mein shalosh? I eat shivas aminim, and I'm not sure whether or not I made the bracha achas mein shalosh afterwards. So do we assume that that's like Birchas HaMazon, and you have to go bench again because safek daraisa lechumra? Or do we assume that no, bracha achas mein shalosh, it's yes, an abridged version of the benching, but it's nothing to do at all with the benching. It's only midrabanan, like all the other brachas that we recite throughout the year. So this is a discussion in the Rishonim. The Rosh and other Rishonim, the Torah writes like this, say that this is like a din d'oraisa. It's the same like Birchas HaMazon. Just like Birchas HaMazon, you have to bench when you have a meal, so too over here, you have to have bracha achas mein shalosh after midaraisa. You're mechuyev to do that after you eat the shivas aminim. A tremendous chiddush, the Rishonim say. I would have said, yeah, it's patterned off the lashon of the Birchas HaMazon, but why is it daraisa? The Gdara Rishonim say that. The Rush, the Ritva, the Shiltas, the Tur, other Rishonim, they all say that. So tremendous Chiddush. The Rambam, however, disagrees. The Rambam says, what are you talking about? This is in the Rabbanan. Torah says, V'achalta v'savata v'rachta. That means what? Only if you're sitting down eating a real meal. What if I'm just nibbling on some dates, I'm nibbling on some rimonim, all of a sudden you're going to tell me, V'achalta v'savata v'rachta, you're obligated to make a bracha achz mein shalish? Of course not. Says the Rambam, yeah, you're obligated to do it midrabbanan, but that's not the same as a birchas hamazon. That's the machlokas harishonim. Look at the Rambam, number gimel. Says the Rambam in number gimel. Kol ha-brachos ha-elu, im nistapik lo b'hem, im birach lo birach. All the brachos that we make throughout the year, if a person is not sure whether or not they made the bracha, eino chozem b'varach lo b'tchilu v'lo b'sof, m'pnei she'em b'divrei sofrim. All the brachos that we make are only midrabbanan. Therefore, the Rambam says, if a person is not sure whether or not they recited any particular bracha, they do not have to go back. However, the Rambam says over there, in Ilchas Brachas, in the end of Perak Beis in Ilchas Brachas, the Rambam tells us, when it comes to Berachas HaMazon, that's the exception to the rule. Why? Because Berachas HaMazon, we know, is a Din D'Oraisa. So that's basically the Machlokas HaRishonim here, whether we assume that Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh is a Din D'Oraisa or it's only a Din D'Rabbanan. How does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? Obviously, the Shulchan Aruch says, like the Rambam, like we all thought, this is not a din d'oraisa. This is not an abridged version of the benching. This is not ve'achalta v'savata ve'rachta. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch paskat the Rambam that this is only midrabbanan. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, if this is a bracha like every other bracha, it's a din d'rabbanan like every other din d'rabbanan, why all of a sudden did we make a unique bracha achrona for this? Why don't you make a bari nefashos like everything else? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, it's because these are the shivas aminim. What do you mean? We're talking about the shivas aminim. This is the perish and the shtab chabar. So you can't just make a bar nefashos like everything else. You have to highlight the fact in the bracha achrona, this is something unique. This is something different. It's something special. And therefore, we have to make a bracha achrona of a bracha achas mein shalosh. Take for another example. What's the difference whether or not this is a dinda arais or a dinda rabban in the bracha achas mein shalosh? As we mentioned, machlok is the Rush and the Tur versus the Rambam. What's the difference how you hold whether it's the arais or the rabban? Nafkamina number one is whether you're chozim mevarach in a case of suffik, do you have to go back and make a bracha? Now, Kamina number two is the following. The Gemara says in Brachas Daf Nun Aleph that whenever a person benches, you have to recite the Birchas HaMazon Dafka B'Yeshiva. You have to be sitting down when you bench, which people aren't careful about. Sometimes I'm on the run, I walk around the house trying to finish up a few things before I go to work. Now, number one, you're not supposed to be doing other things while you bench, but number two, even if you're not doing anything, you're just pacing back and forth, that's not what you're supposed to do. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Kuf Pei Gimel Hilchos Birchas HaMazon based on the Gemara and Brachos, that you have to sit down while you are benching. So the question is, why is that the case? Why do you have to sit down while you're benching? So Tosis writes two reasons. Number one, Tosis says, because this is going to have a lot more kavanah. When you're making a bar nefashos, you don't need to have so much kavanah. It's not such a big deal. It's a very short bracha. When you're having benching, a bunch of paragraphs, and the harachamans, if you're nice enough to say that, then you're going to have more kavanah. You better be sitting down, otherwise there's no way you're going to have kavanah throughout the benching. Tosis then says, no, the real reason is because this is a din d'oraisa. When you're talking about a din d'oraisa, it has to be done with a seriousness. You have to sit in one place. You can't be walking around. And you can't be joking around while you're doing the bracha. That's why you have to sit down. Tosis then writes, it's a play on the words. Interesting that Tosis writes this. He wrote from one of the darshanim in his days. He says that they say, v'achalta v'savata uve rachta. So he says, v'savata, you can break up the word, v'shev ata. You have to sit down while you're making the bracha. Okay, it's obviously a play on the words. It's not really what it means. But that's what Tosis says. How do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? When it comes to bracha achas mein shalosh, so when it comes to benching, you better be sitting down. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch Kuf Pei Gimel. What about when I'm making the bracha after eating from the shivas aminim? Do I have to sit down when I make the bracha achas mein shalosh? Or do I say it's like a bari nefashos? So what do you say? Well, what does Shulchan Aruch say before? Shulchan Aruch said before that bracha achas mein shalosh is like bari nefashos. It's a din d'rabbanan, it's not like berachas hamazon. So what would you say over here? I would have said over here, there's no need to sit down. It's not like benching. So let's see. What? So it's somewhere in the middle. So let's see. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Kuf Pei Gimel. Yesh omrim shengam bracha achas mein shalosh tzarech la'amra miyushav. Shulchan Aruch is paskening like the Rambam. That you have to go ahead and sit down, perhaps, while you're saying the bracha achas mein shalosh, which is a very surprising thing. Because he's paskening like the Rambam over here, even though he paskened like the Rambam before, that this is only Dindur Rabbanan. If you hold it to Dindur Rabbanan, it's not like benching, and when you have a suffix, you don't have to go back, so then why do I have to sit down? So this is a kasha that the Mishnah Berurah deals with, it's a kasha that other Achronim are bothered with, and this is another interesting nafkamina that comes up when you think about what exactly the nature of a bracha achas bein shalosh really is. What kind of bracha is it? Is it like berachas hamazon? Is it a deraisa? Or do we assume it's a din derabbanan like every other bracha, and therefore, when it comes to a suffix, when it comes to sitting, one would not have to go and do so because it is not like berachas hamazon. Now, yeah. Right. No, because over here, when you're kavua b'chalta v'sabata v'rachta, you're not eating your sandwich walking around the house. So once you're sitting ready, so you should continue sitting because that's the way you ate. That is what Tosa says. So you're asking, how come by other brachas we specifically stint? So I think there's a difference. Tosa says, number one, you're going to have more kavana. Number two, he says, this is a bracha d'oraisa, you should really take it seriously. Okay. Yeah. Any other questions? Correct. Not like bar nefashos, right? That's the way we assume, because we assume it takes on the status of berachas hamazon in this regard, even though with regard to being deraisa derabanan is not like berachas hamazon, but with regard to this, if a person left the room and realized they forgot to make a bracha achas mein shalosh, they better go back and make the bracha achrona in the place where they were eating. When we have a bracha achas mein shalosh, when we make this bracha achrona, the special bracha achrona, not the bar nefashos, we know the halacha is that we ended off a little differently. Let's look at the Gemara Brachas Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. That's number Dalet on the sheet. Amru, Rav Chisda Amar, how do you end off the bracha when you eat from the peiros? You say Al Haaretz V'Al Peiroseha. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Al Haaretz V'Al Peiros. Rabbi Yochanan says not Al Peiroseha. You say Al Haaperos. Says the Gemara Amar Av Amram V'Lo Pligi. There's no machlokas here. Halan V'Halahu. Makes a difference whether you're eating fruits in Chutz La'aretz or you're eating fruits in Eretz Yisrael. If you're eating fruits in Eretz Yisrael, you say Ala Eretz V'Al Peiros Seha. If you're eating fruits in Chutz La'aretz, then you're going to say Ala Eretz V'Al Peiros, because we're not so proud about the fact that we live in Chutz La'aretz and we're eating the fruits of Chutz La'aretz. We'll see in a minute exactly what that means. And this is Paskin Shulchan Aruch Simen Reish Ches, that if you're having fruits in Eretz Yisrael, then you'll make a bracha achrona and say Al Peiros Seha. If you're having fruits in America, even if they're from the Shivas Aminim, you're going to make a bracha al haaretz va'al haperus. So now there's a fascinating discussion. So what happens when I have, look, from the Shivas Aminim is also chiten sa'ora, correct? That's also from the Shivas Aminim. So how come when I eat a cake that's made out of chiten sa'ora, and I make the bracha achrona, bracha achas mein shalosh, and I end it off and I say al haaretz va'al hamichya, why don't I make an al haaretz va'al michyasa? Isn't that an amazing kasha? Some achronim are bothered by this. Why shouldn't that follow the same reasoning? If the Gemara tells us when you have fruits in Eretz Yisrael, you make a ala aretz v'al peiroseha, so part of the Shivas Aminim is also chit and sora, so you should make a bracha ala aretz v'al michyasa. And when it comes to the benching also, what should you say? Comes to the benching, you say ala aretz v'al hamazon. So why don't you say ala aretz v'al mazon oseha? This is a question that many Achronim are bothered with. Yeah?
The form changed. Fruit, the form is not changing.
So let's say I make grape juice. Let's say I make wine. Right? Let's say I make wine. Right? So sometimes you change the form and you still make it. So that's the question. So I saw a Gevaldig Pshat of the Netziv. It's quoted by Rabbi Avadi Yosef in the Abiyah Omer. Let's read it together. It's a beautiful Pshat. But then Rabbi Avadi explains why it's not so simple to assume like this. And the explanation that he gives as to why it's not so simple is very relevant to our Mishnah. Very relevant to our Mishnah. When our Mishnah says that you can only bring Bikurim from the Shivas Aminim, we'll see in a couple of minutes why this is very relevant to the discussion. Even if nothing else we said was relevant, this is very relevant. So the Netziv explains, why is it that when it comes to eating Shivas Aminim fruits, you're going to say, Ala Aretz Val Peiro Seha? Whereas when it comes to eating Shivas Aminim Chiten Seora, and you make an Ala Micha, you won't say, Ala Aretz Val Michya Sa, even if you're eating in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Netziv as follows: Hanetziv b'sefer Hemek Sheila Kosav Sheniru Los Is Tam Al Shabbat Eretz Yisrael Lo Nagu Lachtam Va'al Michyasa Kimosha Nagu Lachtam BeBerchas HaPeres Va'al Peroseha V'Chaim BeBerchas HaMazon Ein Chosmin Va'al Mazon Oseha. Why don't you say Ala Aretz Va'al Mazon Oseha instead of Ala Aretz Va'al HaMazon? Mishum, he says as follows: Mishum Sha'al HaPeres Eim Evarchim BeBerchas Me'ein Shalosh El Al Shvach HaAretz. We only make this bracha achas mein shalosh when we're eating something which is from the Shivas Aminim. But let's say I'm eating an apple that grew in Eretz Yisrael. So I make a bar nefashos. Right? Everybody knows that. If I'm eating an apple, even if it grew in Eretz Yisrael, I'm eating in Eretz Yisrael, I'm so happy to be in Eretz Yisrael, I still don't make an ala mia. I still don't make an ala peiros. I just make a regular bar nefashos. Every time I'm eating from the Shivas Aminim in Eretz Yisrael, I'm always going to make ala aretz va peirosa. If I'm eating something that's not from the Shivas Aminim, I'm going to make a bar nefashos. No, so isn't that the same? If I'm eating chitem sa'ora, it would be the same thing. Not so. Masha'en ke mibirchas ala michya, suggests the Netziv. When I make a bracha achas main shalosh of an ala michya because I ate some cakes or cookies, v'chem mibirchas ha-mazon shechos mim ala oretz v'ala mazon, haray mevarchim bracha zu al ha-lechem shal chameshes mine dagan. What are the shivas haminim? Shivas haminim are chita sa'ora gefen te'era. So all we have is chita and sa'ora. However, I would bench even on shibola shul, even if it was spelt, I would also bench. Spelt is not from the Shivas Aminim. So now says the Netziv, why is it that we don't change the Nusach HaBracha if I'm eating chita and sa'ora from Eretz Yisrael? Because you're going to have to start figuring out, well, how much spelt is in it, and how much flour is in it, and how much of it is from wheat, and how much is from barley, and it depends. Well, if I'm eating the cookies from this bakery, I'm going to have to make al-michya sa'. If I'm eating the cookies from the other bakery that use the spelt flour, then I'm going to have to make al-michya. What, are you going to start driving everyone meshuga? This is the answer. If you're eating fruits from Shivas Aminim, everybody knows, fruits from Shivas Aminim you make aretz val peiroseh. If you're eating bread, or you're eating cookies, and you're not really going to know if it's chitos ara, or if it's shibola shul, if it's spelt or something else, or rye, so because you're not going to know, and you're going to start making everybody crazy, and figuring out what are the ingredients, and how much is in it, and what bracha am I supposed to make, and how do I end it, therefore in a case like that, suggest the Netziv, I would not have the obligation of changing the bracha, even if I'm eating from the Shivas Aminim. We're just going to keep it one uniform bracha for all the time whenever you're making an ala michya on a cake or a cookie. Very interesting pshat. No, sounds good. Says Rabbi Avadi Yosef, I'm not so sure he's right. Listen to the genius. Why is he not so sure he's right? Ela delav milsa psiktehi. Look at the next paragraph. V'tayu ba'ashli ravrivi. Says Rabbi Avadi Yosef, not so fast. Don't pull a fast one on me, Netziv, and say that's the reason why we don't change ala aretz v'al michya sa'ah like we change ala aretz v'al peiroseha. Says Rabbi Avadi Yosef as follows, ki das amar shabi psachim, deha dekai melan dis, that we say in our Mishnah, she'em evi'im ikurim elim yishivis aminim. So what happens if I have a field that's growing spelt? So what would you say? Should I bring shivis aminim? Should I bring bikurim from spelt? You'll say no. Why? It's not chita, it's not sora, it's not gefen, it's not teina. So you don't bring it. Kedi alfinim v'menachos, b'gzera shava eretz eretz, that we only bring shivas aminim from those, we only bring bikurim from shivas aminim. Ksivacha shetav mi'artzer, ksivasa meretz chita sora, whatever, ma'alan shvach eretz, avkan shvach eretz, okay. Af kusmim shibola shul v'shipon, chayavin v'avos bikurim. Says the Marsha, if you are only growing spelt in your property, you have to bring bikurim from the spelt. Why? Shehem bechlal chito sa'ora. Because these are subcategories of chita and sa'ora. So again, basically the way the Gemara understands, we have five chameshes minei dagan. There are two main categories. One is chita, one is sa'ora. Then we have shibola shul, shipon, and kusman. We have oats, rye, and spelt. Those three are not three minim on their own. Those are subcategories of either chita and sa'ora. And therefore says the Marsha, if I have an obligation to bring bikurim from chit and sa'ora, then I have an obligation to bring also from my spelt field. Why? Because spelt is a subcategory. It's subsumed under the category of either chit or sa'ora. That's the way the Marsha understands. So if you learn like the Marsha, what do you say? We're back to the problem. Why? Because it turns out that anything that I'm going to eat that's a mezonos, any cake, any cookie, doesn't matter if it was made out of rye, out of spelt, out of oats, out of chita, sa'ora, anything, I always am going to have to make ala aretz v'ala michya. Ala aretz v'al michya sa'ah, because these are all chayv and bikurim, these are all part of the shivas haminim, it's subsumed under the category of chita and sa'ora. Once you assume like that, you're back to the problem. So he says, I don't like what the Netziv suggests because it's not so pashut. The Netziv is on the understanding that when our Mishnah says you only bring bikurim from chita and sa'ora, the Netziv is understanding it's only chita and sa'ora proper, but if I have a field that only grows rye or spelt, I would not bring bikurim. And here he brings a Marsha where the Marsha assumes not so. Let's look at the next paragraph. Ulam, ha'pnei Yeshua sham cholek al divrei ha'marsha. The Pnei Yeshua says, what are you talking about? Shivas Aminim means only from the Shivas Aminim. You don't bring from Shibolashul, the Shipon. You don't bring from the Kusman, from the rice and the oats and the spelt. You wouldn't bring Shivas Aminim, you wouldn't bring Bikurim from that. Says the Pnei Yeshua, it's not true. I would only have an obligation to bring Bikurim from that which the Pasuk states explicitly. But anything outside of that, even if you believe it's a subcategory in some way of those other categories, but Lamaisa, it's not written in the Pasuk, you would not bring Bikurim from that. So therefore, I just thought it was such a beautiful insight of Rabbi Avadia Yosef. Again, we started off with Ala Aretz v'Ala Peiros. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, you make Ala Aretz v'Ala Peiros Seha. The Achronim asks, why don't you make Ala Aretz v'Ala Michiasa and Ala Aretz v'Ala Mazonos Seha? When you bench and when you're eating a Mazonos cake or cookie in Eretz Yisrael, why don't you also change the Nusach HaBracha because you're so happy? So the Netziv answers, no, the reason why is because sometimes you're going to be eating a spelt cracker and you're going to have to make an Ala Michia, and you can't make an Ala Michiasa because it's not from the Shivas Aminim. So therefore he assumes that we're not going to start drawing everyone a cup and making them crazy about figuring out how much flour and how much wheat is in there and what it is and what it's not. Forget about it. We're just going to keep a uniform. Bracha ala aretz v'ala michya, period. And by benching is the same thing. Ala aretz v'ala mazon, period. We're not going to change it. Comes along Rav Avadia Yosef, he says, your argument would be good if you're correct. However, if you hold like the marsha, that all of those subcategories of shibolashul, shipon, and kusman, of oats, rye, and spelt are also part of the category of Chit and Seorah, and they would also have an obligation to bring those as Bikurim. Once you assume like that, then your whole argument is out. And Hadra Kushi L'duchte, we should be back to our problem. How come every time I eat a cake or a cookie in Eretz Yisrael, I should also have to end off the bracha, Ala Eretz V'al Michiasa? And in benching, I should have to say, Ala Eretz V'al Mazonosa. Fascinating kasha. Fascinating kasha.
Well, the question is not why, it's whether you do or you
don't. Right.
Right,
but we've never seen in any siddur anywhere, any bencher, nobody changes it anywhere. So, you know, even in the siddurim of the netziv, even in the siddurim of the marsha, right? I don't know that we have them, but I would imagine they didn't have such a thing. So anyway, this is a fascinating nafkamina that comes directly out of our Mishnah. Again, when our Mishnah says he can only bring bikurim that comes from the Shivas Aminim, what exactly does that mean? Does it mean Shivas Aminim proper, only Shivas Aminim? And we saw, yeah, maybe it could be ba'atir, you can make it nicer, fill it up with other things. Different story. But the strict obligation that I have is only from the Shivas Aminim. So does that mean only Chita, Seorah, Geffen, Te'ena? Or does it mean even subcategories of Chita and Seorah as well? Which bears extreme relevance to the Nusach HaBracha that we make in the Bracha Achas Me'en Shalosh. So what about if I eat Peiros Eretz Yisrael that were taken into Chutz La'aretz? Again, I have the Rimonim that are imported from Eretz Yisrael. And now by the time I'm eating them, I'm not eating them there, I'm eating them here. So the Beis Yosef writes in the name of one of the Rishonim that when you bring them to Chutz La'aretz, you don't have to change the bracha. You don't say, Ala Aretz, I'll pay Rasha. And the Rajba disagrees and he says, what do you mean? These are still the Peiros of Eretz Yisrael. Since they're still the Peiros of Eretz Yisrael, therefore we should still make the bracha, Ala Aretz, I'll pay Rasha. So this is a important machlokes of Rishonim. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? Did I put it on here? Sif Yud. Second page, flip. Says the Shulchan Aruch number Vav. Bibracha achas me'ein shalosh shall peiros to chutz la'aretz. When you have peiros of chutz la'aretz, chosem al aretz v'ala peiros. So again, if I have a rimon that grows in Los Angeles, I don't know if they grow there or not, but if you have a rimon that grows in Florida or Los Angeles, you don't make a bracha al aretz v'ala peiros seha because it didn't grow in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, if I'm eating a rimon that grew in Eretz Yisrael, chosem al aretz v'ala peiros seha. In the chutz la'aretz, ochal mi'peiros ha'aretz. What if I have a rimon that was imported from Eretz Yisrael and now I'm eating it here? Chosim gam kein al peiros ha'aretz. You have the ending off like you would do in Eretz Yisrael. Which is a major question in general. When we take something and extract it out of Eretz Yisrael, does it retain its kedusha or not? So you say, well, when we have the Jaffa oranges, we have a problem that we have to be mafish trumas ha'maisis. It's always a problem when they sell the Jaffa oranges in the store. What's going to be? But let's say we have in Shulchan Aruch, we have a practice that that when a person passes away and we do the kvura, for anyone who's involved in the Chevra Kadisha, when we do the kvura, we take some karka Eretz Yisrael, even if he's buried here, and we dump it into the grave. The reason why is to have a shtickle Eretz Yisrael, a little bit of Eretz Yisrael in the kever. Why do we do that? Once the ground was taken out of Eretz Yisrael, I would say it's no longer Eretz Yisrael. So this is an important question. This is an important question. What's the status of something that's taken out of Eretz Yisrael? Anyway, so we discussed some about the nafkaminas that we find, both by Chumas and Maishos and by the Bracha Achas Mein Shelosh, and some other issues with regard to the Shivas Aminim. Let's just close with one final point, and that is... If you have a grape juice in Eretz Yisrael that was processed outside? Sure. That's for sure. The question is the other way. Does it retain its Kedusha? Because Eretz Yisrael is so Kaddish, does it retain a Kedusha when you come out? If it goes the other way, certainly it wouldn't be. Yeah. For real? Really? I'm curious. Okay, we'll check that out. Okay, very good. Thank you. Interesting.
It makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. Meaning, we have to stand on our heads to explain. No, but it's a long, it's a 10-page tshuva. I only took one paragraph. So we have to stand on our heads to explain why we don't say Michyasa, meaning it should follow that we should do that, which is interesting. It's interesting. So what we find is, Acharei Kechlos HaKol, what we find is that the Shivas Aminim have some sort of unique status. They have something that's a very special quality about them over and above everything else. And this is why when we make the bracha in the Alamicha, we say, V'nochal mipirya v'nizba mituva. We ask that we should have the opportunity one day to eat from the Peres Eretz Yisrael, because we know the Peres Eretz Yisrael are something special. So the Tur in Siman Reish Ches writes, how can we say such a thing? We ask, we want to go back to Eretz Yisrael, we want Yerushalayim back. Why? Oh, because I remember those delicious grapes that I used to eat. I hope one day I'll get back there. Now, Beis Hamikdash, okay, who cares, who needs a bit? I want those Eretz Valaperas, that's what I want. Says the Tur, how can he say such a thing? So he says, leave it out. You're not allowed to say that. V'nochal mipirya v'nizba mituva, that's what you're looking forward to? How can he say that? Therefore he says, leave that out. That can't be that that's part of the Nusach HaBracha. Doesn't make any sense. Can't be. And in fact, he writes, the Gemara says in Masech HaSota, Daf Yud Dalet, the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu v'eschanan al Hashem, he's davening Tav Kuf Tezvav Tfilos, 515 Tfilos. What's he davening for? He wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, why does he want to go into Eretz Yisrael so badly? What, Moshe Rabbeinu, all he needs to eat the delicious fruits, he saw the Meraglim brought them. That's what he wants? No! The Gemara says he wants to be Mekayim Mitzvah Tlis Baris. What do you see? A normal person would never say, oh yeah, the reason why I want to go to Eretz Yisrael is because, oh, I can't wait to eat the fruits. Therefore, says the Tur, how can you say such a thing? That's what you want. You want to get fat when you're overweight when you get there. Nizba Mituva? What does that mean? What does that mean? So the Tur takes it out. And in fact, we have a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Ches, where the Gemara says the same thing. Mipnei ma'ein peres genusa b'Yerushalayim. Why do they not have these kind of delicious, very fat, very juicy fruits in Yerushalayim? Shalo yuhu oli regalim omrim, because we don't want anybody who comes up to be oli regal. What do we want them to remember about the experience of Yerushalayim? Now they're going to go home. 3 months later, we want them to be inspired. They're going to say, oh, you know, let's say I went to the Sea of Mashah. So if I take out a regular seat and I'm sitting squashed next to everybody else, and okay, so I'm going to remember the experience. But I take out a box at MetLife Stadium, I have it catered by Schick's Catering, and everything's great, and I'm getting, you know, six options of what kind of drinks I want, what kind of hoagies I want, everything. So what are you going to remember 6 months later? You're going to really remember the Sea of Mashah? Of course not. You're going to remember what a delicious meal you had. You were sitting with all your friends. It was a great time. Agav, it happens to be. Rabbi Fran spoke. Okay, very nice. He forgot about the whole thing. So that's the same thing, the Gemara says. What? Yeah, the traffic, right? You're going to remember all that. So over here also, the Gemara says, we don't want them, when people reflect on their experience in the Beis HaMikdash of Aliyah the Regal, we don't want them to say, ah, I want to go back. You know why I want to go back? Ah, the Kohen Gadol, okay, it was nice, no big deal. It wasn't so interesting. Ah, the Kruvim, okay, it was nice, not so exciting. The Peiros Genusa in Yerushalayim, ooh, the markets they have there are better than anywhere else. I got to go back there. Says the Gemara, we don't want anyone to say that. We don't want that taste in their mouth, so to speak. Therefore, we say, Ein peres genusa b'Yerushalayim. So therefore, the Tur asks, based on all these Gemaras, how can you say, V'nochal mipirya v'nizba mituva? We don't want that. That's what people's perspective should be about Eretz Yisrael. So the Tur says, take it out. Doesn't belong in there. So the Bach says, what do you mean, take it out? Take it out, it's there. What happened to the Bracha? We always had the text of the Bracha, V'nochal mipirya v'nizba mituva. Must have meant something. So the Tur has a kasha. How do we answer the kasha? Says the Bach. The answer is, what do we mean when we say we look forward to eating the Peres of Eretz Yisrael? Says the Bach, You think Peiros Eretz Yisrael are the same as Peiros Chutz La'aretz? You think it's the same? Don't you realize that the same Kedusha that's infused into everything that happens in Eretz Yisrael also is infused into the land itself, into the Peiros that come out of it? If you eat those fruits, it will give you greater Yerushalayim, it will give you greater Kedusha yourself. Says the Bach, of course I look forward to that. V'nocha mipiri of an izba mituva. Of course I want that. Why do I want that? Because I want to become a more elevated individual. And by eating something that has Kedusha intrinsically inside of it, I'm going to become a better person. That's what we mean when we say, v'nocha mipiri of an izba mituva. Ah, you'll go back and you ask, the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu, does he need the fruits? So the Chabina Rav, he's such a genius. The Chabina Rav writes, well, the Gemara says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Yerushalayim milsa zutra sahi. Moshe Rabbeinu had Yerushalayim, he didn't need this. So what do you think? He needs the fruits to make him a bigger Yerushalayim? So he didn't need it. So the Gemara says, why do you need to go to the Teretz Yisrael? You don't need these fruits. You must have a different reason why you're going in. Can't be the Teretz, because even Moshe Rabbeinu with his Yerushalayim still wants more Yerushalayim, more Kedusha. I don't know, whatever. Nice idea anyway. But this is a discussion when it comes to V'nocha mipiri even izba mituva. What exactly do we mean? You know, there's a lot of discussion when you have the Peiros of Eretz Yisrael. Let's say we said before, the Shulchan Aruch says that there are Seder Kadimas in Brachas. So if I have Shivas Aminim versus an apple, you're going to make on the Shivas Aminim. If I have Chaviv versus something which is not Chaviv, you make on the Chaviv. What if I have Shivas Aminim versus Chaviv? So that's the Machlokas that the Rishonim discussed. What do you do then in a case like that? Shulchan Aruch has two days in the Rishonim. So there's a story that when one of the Slonim Rebbes went to Yerushalayim for the first time. He was so excited. He was looking forward for so many years to going to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim. So when he came back to Baranovich, I don't know why he lived in Baranovich, if he was the Slonim Rebbe, I don't know. So when he went back to the Baranovich, to his town, so he came back, and Friday night he was sitting there, and he had brought back with him a challah roll from Eretz Yisrael, from Yerushalayim. He wanted his family to taste. Can you imagine what a roll tastes like in Yerushalayim? Okay, no Angel's Bakery, but whatever they had then, that's what he brought back. It was probably stale by the time he got back there, but anyway, that's what he had. So he has a small challah roll from there, and his wife makes a Rebbe Shechallah for him. So he's sitting there Friday night trying to figure out which one should he make the bracha on. So the halacha is, the same way you're supposed to make on the shalem, if I have one which is a prusa and one which is a shlema, you make on the shalem. So too, if one is big and one is small, you're supposed to make on the big. So he said, on the one hand, my wife makes me a Rebbe Shechallah, I should really make on the big one. On the other hand, I have this challah from Eretz Yisrael, it's Chaviv! It's Chaviv, so which one do I do? Maybe Chaviv comes before Gadol. So what do I do? So he came up with a Chiddush, he said the following. He said, the Pasuk says, Ad HaNahar HaGadol Nahar Peras. Al HaNahar HaGadol Nahar Peras. We call the Euphrates the Nahar HaGadol. Rashi says on Chumash, why is it called Nahar HaGadol? It's not the big river. The Mediterranean is the big river. Why do we call Nahar HaGadol? He says, because it streams through Eretz Yisrael. So he says, you see from here that something that gains its sustenance from Eretz Yisrael must be the Gadol. So he says, here I have a toss-up between the Rebbe Shechala, which is a Gadol, or this. This is the Gadol. This is Chaviv and Gadol. I'm going to eat this one first. So that's what he did. That we have it at Difus to Peiros Eretz Yisrael, to bread from Eretz Yisrael, to cookies from Eretz Yisrael. Maybe we should say, Ala Eretz Val Michia Sa. That's how far the Achronim want to take it. The story about the Malbim as well, the same kind of story, that the Malbim had two Mishalachim that came to his door. One was a big Talmud Chacham from Russia, one was a no Talmud Chacham from, not at all Talmud Chacham from Eretz Yisrael. So they were both collecting money. So the Malbim says, no, I want to see the Eretz Yisrael digger first. So he says, he's very insulted. The one from Moscow is very insulted. He says, doesn't the Malbim know that I'm such a renowned Talmud Chacham? I'm coming here to collect tzedakah. Does he make me wait? So he figures it must be this guy from Eretz Yisrael. The Malbim knows some private things about him. So he walks into the room after when it's his turn, and he comes into the Malbim and he asks him, did you hear a good chiddush from this Talmud Chacham? He must be a big gadol. Obviously, if you took him in first, the Malbim says, no, he's from Eretz Yisrael, so he's the gadol automatically. Nahar gadol, nahar peros, the same chiddush. When you have something that's connected to Eretz Yisrael, we consider that to be in a class of its own. And therefore, we have, over here in Bikurim, we have that the Peiros Eretz Yisrael are the only ones that are chai Bikurim, which are the Shivas Aminim. And we assume that this also has other far-reaching ramifications with regard to Trumas and Mises, with regard to Ala Arz al Perasel, Ala Arz al Michyasa, and also with regard to other things when it comes to the Kadima in Brachas. Amir Tashem, next week, we're ready to...